Hello, church. My name is Jeremiah Raymer. I'm one of the pastors here at CPC. I want to welcome all of you joining us online on the many different platforms we have: Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, and cpcdanville.org. Many of you have let me know that you've been inviting people via social post or text saying, hey, join me at my church online in weeks prior to this and this weekend. So thank you for doing that. Also, if you're joining with us for the very first time, welcome. We're so glad that you're here and we're so excited that you've decided to join us today. I just want to let you know, this is important, that I love you, that I'm thinking about you, that I'm praying for you, that our pastoral team, our staff at CBC, we're praying for you every single day. We know this is a difficult season. I heard an announcement come out this week that most schools have suspended the rest of the school year. That's difficult news to take. And we're all trying to settle into this new reality and figure out what life looks like in the midst of a pandemic. And at a time when hope is in short supply and people are struggling, I just want you to know that we're thinking about you, that we care for you. I want you to know that I sense the changes that have happened and the changes that are looming for me. Everything kind of became more real this week, just knowing more things are coming down the pike. And so I just want you to know we're here for you, we're thinking about you, we're with you in the midst of this difficult season, a season in which it's really difficult to find peace, isn't it? And that's why I think Palm Sunday, which is this Sunday, Palm Sunday is an excellent weekend for us just to find some hope, to find a chance at having peace in Jesus Christ. And Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week, and Luke, the author, the gospel author that we're going to read the story from today, Luke chapter 19, so you want to find that in your Bible or on your Bible app, but Luke actually calls it the triumphal entry of Jesus. Jesus heading into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week, headed towards Good Friday when Jesus would be killed and crucified on the cross. And then next weekend, we'll celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead on Easter weekend. So let's look at Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28. Let's read it. It says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, Jesus wept over it and said, if you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus says, if you only knew what I offer you, what I'm bringing you a chance for peace. A peace that only I can offer. You know, Palm Sunday is Jesus' coronation as king. It's a time when kings would come back from war victoriously, and the people would line the streets and they would sing their praises and celebrate the victorious king. That's what's happening in this story. And just a few days later, this same crowd who's swelling with pride about the coming King Jesus will crown Jesus, not as king, but with a crown of thorns. And they'll curse him instead of praise him, and they'll put him on a cross. And Jesus weeps for the people instead of for himself. And he weeps for the people because he recognizes they have no peace. Anyone watching right now, I have a question for you. Anyone just looking at your life in this moment and sort of thinking, you know, I'm struggling to find peace right now. I'm struggling to find peace right now. If that's you, click the like button. Let us know. I'm struggling to find peace. It's hard to find peace in this moment. It's a difficult time in life. Everything feels like it's a mess. Everything's out of order. Many of you have expressed how hard it is to be at home in this season. You've all of a sudden become a full-time teacher, as well as a full-time caregiver, a full-time meal provider. You've become all things to all people in your home, and you're just not sure that you're cut out for this whole hands-on parenting deal. And you're wrestling in this season with feeling like a failure as a parent, wondering, am I going to be able to pull this off? I feel a bit like a fraud as a parent. You feel inadequate. One of my friends was telling me that he's feeling really distant between a distance between he and his wife because he's working from home and he's trying to keep his business alive and he's working overtime and really hard. And his wife's in the other part of the house trying to take care of the kids. And so she feels like he's not being very helpful, but yet he's trying his best to keep the business floating. And then so he feels shame because he knows he's kind of letting her down. It's this tension that's alive and well. He's trying everything he can, but just feels like it's not working right. Many people have expressed fears of possibly being laid off. It's tough to sleep when you're worried about providing a meal for your family, when you're worried about taking care of the people you love. Anxiety levels are through the roof. If I can't work, how am I going to put food on the table? Many of us are just worried about where our next meal is going to come from. How are we going to feed our family? How are we going to feed our kids? One of my friends sent me this video. It's a TikTok video of a father expressing that very thing. Check it out.
So my work has bounced the last two paychecks to me, and my wife went out of town on Monday of last week. So on Monday, I had negative $72 in my account, and my wife was out of town. It was just me and the kids for a week. I was able to scrounge together about 37 bucks, and that's what I used to feed the kids and me for a week. It was tough, but I did it. She comes home tonight, and there will be a paycheck in the from her paycheck in the account tonight. So I did it. For any of you parents out there who are having a real hard time with your account, I am really sorry, because hungry kids suck and it really hurts your heart. So I'm sorry for you, and I know that others have gone through a hell of a lot more, but I'm a little proud of myself because I did it. The kids had no idea. I never broke. I never showed them any anger or frustration. They had no idea. And tonight it ends, so I'm okay now.
So what do you do? How are you going to find peace in these unsettled times? That leads us into our big idea. If you're a note taker, you're going to want to write this down or type it into your phone. The big idea is to find peace, you must crown Jesus as your king. If you want to find peace, you have to crown Jesus as your king. Now you need to know, Jesus doesn't do part-time king. He doesn't do 10% or 20%, 50, or even 99% king. Jesus wants to be your everything, 100% king of every place in your life. If you want the peace that can only be found in Jesus, you must crown him Lord of your life. Must crown him king in your life. But when you crown Jesus as king in your life, you'll find freedom from the tyranny of oppressive kings. You can find freedom from the things in your life that have seized control, even things that are controlling you, and you're not aware of it. You can find freedom. It's easy in the midst of this pandemic to feel controlled, to crown the circumstances in our life. Maybe you'd say, I'm feeling more down than I've ever felt in this season. I've never been this desperate, this down. It's because you've crowned the circumstances in your life. And they're owning you. They're your master, and the circumstances are bad. And so they've stolen your joy and your peace. Maybe you've crowned alcohol or another substance in your life because you're looking for peace, and you turn to alcohol and you say, it can serve me, it can help me. But the truth is, it's become your master. You're serving it, hoping you can find peace, hoping you can find a savior. But alcohol and drugs are not a good savior. Maybe you're like me, and the thing that controls me more than anything else is what other people think about you, what other people think about me. Are they going to criticize me? Are they going to think I'm weird? What are people going to think about me? It really paralyzes me sometimes. Every single one of us struggles with crowning the wrong kings at different points in our life. I want to encourage you, crown Jesus as king of your life. Make it a principle in your life, a conviction. Jesus is my Lord. I serve him and him alone with my life. And it'll change your life. You'll find peace in the worst circumstances. You'll find strength to engage the most daunting battles. You'll find an unshakable identity in Christ. So how do you do it? How do you crown Jesus as Lord? You receive Jesus as your true king. You receive Jesus as your unexpected king, and you receive Jesus as your personal king. He wants to be your personal king. Number one, how do you crown Jesus Lord in your life? You receive him as your true king. Look at Luke 19, verse 37. It says, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So how is he the true King? Well, number one, he fulfills the prophecies like the one we have in Psalm 118. And that the people, as they're shouting and worshiping Jesus, they're referencing Psalm 118, 25, and 26. Look what it says. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus fulfills this Old Testament prophecy. They recognize him as the Messiah, as the King, the true King, and they worship him as such. And this, he's a messianic hero. And all of the Hebrew scriptures sort of pointed to and looked toward this messianic figure that we know as Jesus. And they believed in this moment was Jesus. And you know, the idea of a messianic hero is a popular theme in history and in literature. In fact, every great legend, every great story hinges on this idea of a messianic hero. But the reality is, while the fantasy style of the messianic figure and the messianic hero is wonderful and it makes stories great, the earthly, the worldly style of a king, of a messianic hero, the history of human kings is an abysmal history of tyranny. So we, especially in America, we sort of operate on the, I don't need a king. I don't need a queen. I don't need a monarch. I don't need any of that stuff. I don't need any authority to tell me what to do. I have authority over myself. Ironically, it's very interesting that while we say we don't need kings, queens, or monarchs, we make royals into the most famous celebrities in the entire world. You know, pre-pandemic, the most popular story in the news was about these two, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. He's a royal, and they left England. They left their royal positions to move to Canada and sort of make a mark on life for themselves. That was the biggest news, biggest story in the news before the coronavirus hit. Ironically, I was sort of surfing through the news on my phone the other day, and there was a story about these two and how they're passing the time while they're sheltering in place in Canada, because that's really important news. But you can see this idea of kings and queens is such an important part of our society, of our culture, of our history. Stories about kings and princesses are easily the most popular stories, and these sort of messianic characters are the most beloved. Think about every Disney movie ever made. Every one of them includes a messianic hero. You know, one thing that has happened because of the shelter in place, our families had a little bit of time where we get to reconnect and we're revisiting old memories. And the way we're doing it is we're grabbing our cell phone and we're scrolling through and we're finding videos of our kids that were from before they were old enough to remember or when they were little babies. And some of them are hilarious. And we've just been rolling around on our living room floor just laughing at these videos. And one of these videos, I had just forgotten about it until all of this happened, a little silver lining. I rediscovered this video, and it's of my oldest daughter, Kenna, who at the time was almost 3 years old, not quite 3 years old. She's 8 now, so it's been a number of years since then. But when you watch this video, listen closely to what Kenna's saying, and you'll see how she recognizes this idea of kings and queens and monarchs and this idea of a messianic hero. Check it out. She said, you need to bow to me. And we didn't teach her that. Amen? Somebody punch the like button on whatever platform you're watching. We didn't teach her to say, you need to bow to me. She picked it up on herself. It's a part of her nature. And interestingly enough, even in places like America where we say, we don't need kings, we don't need queens, we don't need monarchs, People still turn people into these kinds of figures anyway. It's really interesting. C.S. Lewis wrote in one of his most famous essays, he wrote about it. He said this, "Where we're forbidden to honor a king, we honor millionaires, athletes, or film stars instead, even famous gangsters. For spiritual nature, like bodily nature, will be served. Deny it food, and it will gobble poison." Now, what is that cryptic thing about gobbling poison? What does that mean? It means this: a starving person, when their hunger becomes so great, they cannot deny their physical nature, their human nature, which says, I'm starving, I'll eat anything I can get, even if it hurts me, even if it kills me, because I'm starving. In the same way, we look at food when we're starving. This idea of a messianic hero is a part of our natures. We have in our human nature this desire to have a Lord, to have a king, to have a messianic hero in our lives. And human nature is powerful and it cannot be denied. You can tell yourself, now I don't need a king, but spiritually you do. We tell ourselves we're in control of our lives, but we're not. And you're not. And I'm not. Whatever you're living for, it doesn't serve you. You serve it. You serve whoever or whatever you crown as your king. You serve it. Whatever you crown, you serve that thing. You want to tell yourself it's going to serve me. My king, my master will serve me. No, you crown it and then you begin to serve it. Think about it. If you're living for your career, we're talking pre-pandemic here, you tell yourself, I'm a successful person, I'm a high achiever, you find your value, your worth, your sense of identity in your career, you've crowned your career. And the moment something goes wrong in your career, you have a total mental breakdown because your career starts to punish you because you failed it in some way or another, and it oppresses you. It's your Lord, it's your master, you've crowned it, and you owe it every part of yourself. And when everything you give to it isn't enough, it chews you up and it spits you out. That something like this pandemic hits and now your job is on the line and the thing you've crowned as master and Lord and king in your life is evaporating before your very eyes. Now what are you gonna do? You might be living for stability and security. You've crowned an expectation about the way your life and your business will go. Then the coronavirus strikes and you have to make really difficult decisions and your sense of peace, your sense of satisfaction is gone. You can't sleep at night. Anxiety level through the roof. I'm not making light of any of these things. They're awful. It's an awful reality. Circumstances often reveal ways in which we've crowned certain expectations about how our lives should go. Maybe you're living for your children. You've crowned them. If everything in your life rises and falls on the happiness of your children, you've crowned them Lord. And the moment you have to disappoint them or tell them no, you're miserable because you've given the power in your life to your children and to their happiness. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You are on week 3 of sheltering in place and you're already ready to check yourself into an institution because life is just miserable right now. You're feeling like a failure as a parent, because you can't get your children to do what you want them to do. And you've equated peace in your life with your performance as a parent. You've crowned performance as a parent. And now you feel like you're doing a bad job and your identity is shaken because you've crowned your kids and their happiness as Lord in your life. Maybe you've crowned your kids' future success and everything in your life revolves around some picture you have in your mind of what their future should look like. And everything bows to their athletic pursuits, their academic pursuits. And not only does it make them crazy, it also destroys your ability to find the peace that Jesus offers as Lord of your life. Maybe you've crowned a relationship in your life, a particular relationship, and that relationship can't handle that pressure. Your spouse makes a poor master, a poor king over you. Your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, they make a really poor master in your life. They will let you down. They'll fail you. If all of your hopes and dreams are wrapped up in a relationship, you're headed for devastation. Could be a political cause. It could be your health. You say, hey, I'm sort of banking on, I've crowned great health in my life. Well, then the cancer comes and what now? Your health has become a really poor master. Your physical appearance, but now, guess what? The gym's closed. Can't go there. It's difficult to work out. Your schedule's crazy. How are you going to make this happen? It makes a really poor king in your life. Whatever it is, you've crowned something. Every one of us must crown something. And why is that? Why do we crown things? I think it's because from the beginning, we were created and crafted by the true king, the actual messianic hero, Jesus Christ himself. We have this innate need for a king in our lives. And if we deny the true king, we have to crown someone or something else because that's a part of our human nature. And that's how we were created from the beginning. I love what Rebecca Pippert says. She says this, "Whatever controls you is your Lord. The person who seeks power is controlled by power. The person who seeks acceptance is controlled by the acceptance of others. We do not control ourselves. We are controlled by the Lord of our lives." What profound words. And I can literally hear some of you saying through online viewing, but I don't want to give up control. We don't want to give up control. We're so afraid of losing control. And guess what? If this pandemic has taught me anything, it taught you anything, it's this, that control is kind of an illusion. Because I'm not in control of this. You're not in control of it. So who's in control of it? Well, if we're not, someone must be. And I believe ultimately God is in control. Now, how does this relate to your problems, to my problems? Well, when you crown the wrong things, they turn on you and they oppress you because you were never intended to serve them. Who or what have you crowned as Lord of your life? Crown Jesus as Lord of your life today. How do you crown Jesus as Lord of your life? Well, number one, you receive Jesus as your true king. And number two, you receive Jesus as your unexpected king. Your unexpected king. Look at Luke 19, verse 30. It says, "Go to the village," Jesus tells his disciples. "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. Number one, why all the trouble with this colt? What's this about? Why is Jesus going to these great sort of lengths to get this colt, to have this whole thing set up? Number one, he's fulfilling prophecy. Look at what it says in Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus fulfills all kinds of prophecies leading up to the Holy Week. And then throughout the Holy Week, he just fulfills prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. But this message is not about that. But I did want to mention that. He does it to fulfill prophecy. And Luke calls it a colt, but Zechariah calls it a foal, which is like a young donkey, a donkey who's never been ridden, a donkey who's barely big enough to ride. And the other gospel writers also call it a foal. Can you imagine the disciples when Jesus says, "Get me the trusty steed. I'm going to ride into Jerusalem." They're like, "Yes, our day has finally come. Jesus is going to ride in victorious. We're going to be his right and his left hand. We're going to be his main guys." And then he sends them to go get this colt. And they show up and the colt isn't a colt. It's a foal. And they're like, "No, it's an oxymoron. You can't ride in his victorious king over all of the Israelites, setting us free from Roman rule on that little donkey, on that foal." It's crazy. And they're like, "Let's get an image expert. Let's Yelp somebody. We need a consultant to come in and help us recraft Jesus' image. I mean, he should be riding in on a Harley or a tank or in a Tesla, something sick, something sweet like that." But that's not how he rides in. He rides in on this little foal, this donkey. Why does he do this? Because his kingdom is an unexpected kingdom. He's not like these worldly kings. This isn't a king that makes demands of you and then does nothing to help you carry the burden. He's the only king who can forgive. He's the only king who sacrifices himself for you instead of asking you to sacrifice yourself for him. What kind of Lord, what kind of king does that? This one, the unexpected king. Think about it with respect to parenting. I fall short I'm full of shame and guilt. I'm sure others are judging me. Jesus is probably judging me. I know my spouse is judging me. I'm absolutely judging myself right now. Yet Jesus, the unexpected King, comes and does what? Offers grace and mercy and patience and peace. The unexpected King offers you a peace and a perspective that only He can bring. It's only week 3 of the 8 weeks we're looking at sheltering in place. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm desperate. I'm feeling like a failure. The unexpected King is speaking to you. If you'll listen closely to His voice, He says, I'm not like those other kings you've crowned. I don't judge you. I don't condemn you. I accept you because you are my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. The unexpected King is speaking to you. Are you listening? I know you're worried about providing for your family. I'm going to get you through this. You can trust me. How and when I give you what you need might not be the way you thought it should have been, but you can trust the unexpected King. I know you're worried about work, about your business. You can count on the unexpected King because I don't operate in the same economy, according to the same economy you do. I have a heavenly economy that I operate from. You might be asking, well, why does God want us to give Him control over our lives? I love what Rebecca Pippert says. It says, Jesus knows He's the only one in the universe who can control us without destroying us. But He can control, He could force His control over us, but He doesn't. He says, you must crown me King in your life. You must crown me Lord in your life if you want me to control your life. And He says, I'm the only one who can control your life in a way that brings you satisfaction and joy and hope and peace when you have none. I'm the only one who offers it. He's the unexpected King. You can trust Him to take the controls in your life. Crown Him as King. He'll bring you hope and peace in ways that are so unexpected, it'll change your life. So how do you crown Jesus King in your life? Well, number one, you crown Him as the true King. Number two, He's your unexpected King. And number three, He's your personal King. Jesus is your personal King. Look at Luke 19, verse 41. It says, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and He saw the city, He wept over it. And He said, If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. It's a window into the heart of Jesus Christ. You notice in this moment when Jesus looks out at the city, He's headed at the beginning of Holy Week into Jerusalem toward Good Friday, where He will die on a cross for us, for the people. And yet He looks at them and His heart is broken for them, and He begins to weep for them. He's not angry. He's not judgmental. He's not self-righteous. He's not bitter. He's not even condescending. All the things we're worried about experiencing when we crown Jesus in our lives, He's none of those things. He cares so deeply that He's weeping for the people that He's about to die for. Guess what? This is huge. Jesus' heart hasn't changed from that to this day. It's the same heart. He still feels the same way about you in the midst of your desperation, your frustration, in the midst of our panic and confusion, in the midst of my doubts, in the midst of your doubts, in the midst of layoffs and pay cuts, reducing workforces, unemployment, in the midst of feeling like a failure as a parent, feeling shame for blowing up at my kids because there's nowhere else to turn with my frustration. I'm feeling trapped in my own home. He has grace for that. He's worthy to be crowned King in our lives. He's the true King, the unexpected King, and now receive Him as your personal King. Jesus, your personal King, says, if you only knew what I'm offering you peace, peace of mind in the midst of your most difficult trials, peace, peace in the midst of your peace in your spirit about who I've made you to be, peace in your heart because I've given my life for you. You know, one of the realizations I've had since this pandemic started is that even before it started, I didn't have very much peace. I was so busy and overwhelmed with life, trying to keep up, trying to establish myself, trying to make something out of myself, trying to be successful, trying to prove myself, trying to earn my way with God. I had no peace then, really no more peace than I have now. Although my perspective has changed now, I didn't really have the peace that Jesus offers. It's been missing from my life in so many ways because I've crowned success and I've tried to crown the achievements of my children. I've tried to crown finances or sports or popularity or acceptance, but none of these have been able to offer me the peace that Jesus is offering me, and he's offering it to you. You know, as a culture, we're really, really bad. We have a hard time finding true peace. And remember our big idea, to find peace, you must crown Jesus as your king. And I want to give you a picture of what that might look like in your life. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, this is how you crown Jesus. This is what it's like once you crown him Lord of your life, king of your life. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Anybody feeling burdened? Click the like button on our platform you're viewing. Yeah, I'm feeling burdened. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling worried about my future. I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm not sleeping well. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm concerned. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It sounds like a master, like a Lord, like a king that I want to serve, that you want to serve. He says, listen, if you'll come and crown me Lord and King of your life, I will give you the best life you could possibly have. It may not look like what you thought it would look like. It may mean that you have to let go of other things that you've crowned that are not as important. And when you crown me, you serve me, you live for me, and I will give you a satisfying life. Most of all, I will give you peace in the midst of the turmoil of this life. Would you pray with me as we close? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for every single person who's watching today. God, I pray that you will give us peace, Lord, that we'll find peace when we receive you as the true King. We receive you as our unexpected king, and we receive you as our personal king. Lord, we pray for our world right now. We pray for those who've been affected and infected by the coronavirus. Would you bring them peace? Would you bring them healing, God? Would you bring them medical care? Would you protect people in places where food is running short and people are worried about where they're going to get their next meal? God, for the family who's sitting at home right now and we're not knowing where the next paycheck is going to come from, God, would you provide in a powerful way? Thank you, Lord, that when we come to you and we crown you Lord and King in our lives, we don't have to hold on to control anymore. We can trust you, Lord, with the controls of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for making that trek into Jerusalem, heading to what you knew would be a gruesome death on a horrible cross, but doing it because, Lord, your heart was breaking for us, Lord. You wanted us to experience the peace that we could only find in you. Thank you for your great love for us. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.